Three, two, one.
Sweet.
All right. Now, do we have an episode for you? Do you want to bring us in?
Yes. So.
Oh, we also have the intro. Soundboard.
Oh, yeah. Soundboard.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Implications of Phineas and Ferb podcast.
There's 365 days in a gap year, and uni's gonna come and end it. So the once in a lifetime problem for us is to find a good way to spend it.
Making a podcast.
It hurts not having the soundboard. Yeah, that was I really enjoyed listening to that intro, didn't you?
Fantastic. It's such a good intro.
Absolutely amazing intro. So welcome back to the Implications of Phineas and Ferb, where we discuss the implications of Star Wars.
The best Star Wars content.
The best
ever.
Star Wars content. It is a very, very special episode today. Because
it is our 1 year anniversary.
Yes, it's the 1 year anniversary. Happy 1 year of making this whatever this is.
Happy birthday, podcast.
Happy birthday to the Implications.
Hope you've enjoyed 1 year of life. Don't worry, it only gets worse from here. Like everyone else's.
Honestly, it's been all downhill since like year four, maybe.
Yeah, we start this podcast and then the world goes to shit. Coincidence? I think not.
The implications of Phineas and Ferb caused the coronavirus. So yes,
the implications of Phineas and Ferb implicates the fact that
the implications of Phineas and Ferb, more the implications of the world ending.
All right, Star Wars.
Yes,
best Star Wars content.
And before we get into the episode, we have officially moved, and I am now.
Well,
in
you've
Sydney.
Officially moved.
Yep,
I'm still.
So we're not in the same place anymore, which means that we're recording over Discord. So a moment of silence for the soundboard.
Okay.
Until we work out what to do there,
because we're going to insert something there to make people think it's not. RIP, but it certainly is RIP.
Yeah,
for now.
We can't
least.
Press the button and hear it anymore, but we can still insert sound effects and we edit it. So
that's we're
not
smart enough.
We are fine. So yeah, Star Wars. This
we've been waiting so long to do this.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for you to watch it. I've seen it before. If you've listened to any of the other episodes, you know we're pretty big Star Wars fans. You especially
mm-hmm.
like. I like myself some Star Wars,
I
and then I kept watching it
Star Wars.
And realized there's some terrible Star Wars out there.
Oh yeah, I will always maintain Star Wars is almost
Star Wars.
It is pretty accurately roughly 35-65 good to bad content.
Split. Yeah, and the universe though is always fantastic.
Oh, it's
the
a
universe,
wonderful
I will say,
universe.
Is beautiful stories within it, and the characters can be a bit. Bad at times.
Yes, you are 100% right. Anyway, before we even talk about the episode, all of the Star Wars content, like the major Star Wars content, rank it. Here's my list.
Okay.
At the bottom, we have episode
bottom.
2.
Well, that's where we're starting.
Yeah, I'm starting at the bottom because then it gets
2.
Better. Bottom is episode 2. It's just as bad as episode 1, but after episode 1 came out, it should have learned better. That is my reasoning.
True. And episode 1 and episode 2 didn't have Duel of the Fates.
Yeah, exactly. Episode 2 didn't have Duel of the Fates because for some reason they killed off Darth Maul instead of having him be the Darth Vader of the
actually
prequel
good.
Trilogy, which is what he should have been. So then is episode 1. It's bad, but it's saved almost single-handedly by Ewan McGregor.
One music score.
And that beautiful goddamn song. It almost makes up Baby Anakin. That said...
Oh. I forgot about that. I don't. Why did they make him build C-3PO and build C-3PO? He didn't need to do that.
Yeah, it was
a bit
stupid.
No one expected him to do that. He is not. And then in the sequel trilogy, they're like, "Oh yeah, this robot knows Sith."
Yep.
What?
Yep. We haven't gotten there. We haven't gotten there. Okay. So then I'm going to put Episode 9.
I'm going to put the whole trilogy there, because. As separately as we've discussed, those movies aren't horrible. Separately, they actually aren't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Together, they're the worst trilogy ever. Because even the prequel series got the whole idea of a consecutive story. They went, you know what? We're making 3 movies. We'll make a roadmap.
I disagree. I think episode 1 just does not fit with the other two.
They did. At least the characters didn't completely change between them. At least they didn't go, oh, we have this nice character called Rose. Now she's got death threats, so now we just won't have her in the last one.
I will never forgive the internet for the way that they treated Kelly Marie Tran. It was fucking disgusting.
It was horrible. And then the movie industry is like, oh, you're like, right, they are, and they are.
And this
right.
is not we the first time this has happened, because they like, the guy who played Jar Jar, content warning, he nearly Jar Jar, committed suicide at one point.
Yeah,
because he was bullied so much over.
But also, Jar Jar is horrible.
Jar Jar's a bad character, but that's not Ahmed Best's fault. He did an amazing job. He was the first major all motion capture character in any movie ever. Like that, he was pioneering new technology, and he was fantastic in the role, and he did exactly what he was supposed to. And the way that the character was written, that's not his fault. And the same way, it's not Kelly Marie Tran's fault how Rose was written.
But yeah, no, I agree. I would put the sequel trilogy as a whole below the prequel trilogy. I prefer the prequel. If you take the prequel as just fun and just laugh at sometimes bad it is.
I think that without the Clone Wars, the prequels are pretty bad. And I can't divorce them of the content.
So many good memes that come out of prequel.
Yeah, the prequels.
So many good memes.
Gave us a lot of good stuff, and none of it was the movies. All the good parts of the prequels weren't the prequel movies.
But I just hate the idea of people going, we're setting up a new trilogy for the Star Wars. We've got so much hype behind it. Let's not write a roadmap from the start to the end. Like,
yeah, or maybe they did have a roadmap and they were just so willing to change it so willy-nilly.
Okay. Anyway, I really do think we should discuss the best.
Yeah, no, Star Wars. I want to finish my rankings first. So we've got episode two, episode one, episode nine. Then I'm going to put probably episode six. Episode 6 is a bit cookie cutter, and I do think it's actually quite overrated, and I don't it pains me to not have Revenge of the Sith, like episode 3, a little bit higher in the list. So I've got to put something there, so I'm going to put episode 6, then I'm going to put episode 7, because episode 7 is just a remake, basically. It shouldn't be too much higher, but it is a good movie. It's very fun. Then I'm going to put...
You've got 5, 4, and 8.
5, 4, and 8.
And Mandalorian and Clone Wars.
Yeah, Mandalorian, Clone Wars, and this. I'm going to put episode 4 here.
Okay.
Then I'm going to put 8. Then I'm going to put...
Such a Last Jedi fucking...
I really like that movie. I think it's really good.
And you shouldn't.
I really enjoy it every time I watch it.
Once you've done your ranking, I'm going to like fire mine off.
Yeah.
And we're not even going to discuss it.
All right. Then... Episode 5, because it's episode 5, of course. Then The Mandalorian, because that series is absolutely fantastic. Seasons 1, 2, 4 of The Clone Wars, then The Mandalorian, then seasons 5 through 7 of The Clone Wars. Because seasons 5 through 7 of The Clone Wars are masterpieces.
And 7 is just, it's the Ahsoka,
season seven
the Ahsoka
is so
tribute
good.
We deserved.
And then, finally, last but literally the opposite of least, the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars special on top.
Yeah. Real quick, mine from worst to best.
Mm-hmm.
9, 1, 8, 2, 7, 6, 4, 5, Clone Wars, Mandalorian, this.
Really? You would put episode 8 below episode 2?
Oh, swap those two. Oh, I didn't put 3. 3's above 8, though.
Yeah, because I was going to say, episode 8, like, even if you think it's bad, it's not incompetent. Episode 2 was just like...
I know, but Hello There beats massive starship going light speed through other ship. Like, that's a beautiful scene. That
yeah.
Is,
episode 3 is...
But Hello
It's not
there.
A good movie, but it's so fun to watch. Remember when we watched episode 3 and we took a shot every time there was a meme and we nearly got ourselves killed?
Yeah, you can die in the first 20 minutes if you do it properly.
we got like...
That's why
like
it's up there.
10 minutes in and we were like, okay, we're going to have to start doing this as half shots. By the end, I was alternating between quarter shots and a drink of water because you get yourself killed. You get to that high ground scene and every time it cuts from one shot to another, you just throw one back.
Yeah, every sentence. And even before that, you've got Hello There, then Order 66, and then, it's insane. Yeah, that...
So many good memes. All right.
The intro to this Star Wars, unlike this episode of the podcast, is outstanding. It is meta. It has Jeff Swampy Marsh, Dan Povenmire, some guy with a cool voice. That's all you really need.
Yeah, exactly.
They just set out, like, from the get-go, this movie is set out from just fixing episode 4. Like, episode 4, which is, as we just ranked them, one of the better of all Star Wars content. It has some holes that, you know, could just do with a little bit of filling. And this is what this
episode four is much like episode 3 in a lot of ways. And I know that that's a pretty hot take, but hear me out. Episode 4 is fairly average and gets exponentially better because of the content around it trying to explain and justify it.
And that content around it is better.
Yes.
And it's called Phineas and Ferb's Star Wars special.
And, oh, notice, and, by the way, we didn't mention Rogue One or Solo in our rankings at all.
No,
that I'm just
going
to bring that up. Solo isn't good enough to get on my rankings, personally.
I haven't watched it.
I would
so
actually
it's
put
content,
Solo, like, almost dead last. Maybe it's worse. It's better than episode 2, but it's not great at all.
I still haven't seen it, so it doesn't
And
count.
Rogue One actually isn't canon. Did you know that?
Yeah, no.
It's not canon.
It's not canon. As Phineas and Ferb says, like at the end of the credits when they say, this isn't canon, relax. No, it is.
They were talking about Rogue One. They were like, this is canon. Like, this story is only canon in this version. It's not canon in some weird version where they try to say it seriously.
Yeah. I don't know how the Disney executives let the guy who walked to him, he's like, all right, I'm going to fix number 4. And they're like, bro, we've already done that with the Phineas and Ferb special. And he's like, oh, but I thought we could make this late. And they're like, all right, just have the $200 million so you shut up. You're really annoying about this. But it's already done. And then that's why the guy killed everyone off at the end of Rogue One, because he was just pissed that no one took him seriously.
Yeah, exactly. And like, yeah, pretty much. In fact, the Phineas and Ferb vault, as we've established, this was probably the rough draft for Rogue One.
This was like, when they were really clutching at straws. They had to go down there. Like, we really need to find some content. It's like, oh, we'll literally just do what Phineas and Ferb did, but we'll just do it worse. It's in the same universe.
Yeah, they're like, let's get the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars special and just remove all of the fun and make it Rogue One. Rogue One is a good movie, but when you contrast it to this, you realize it's the same horrible movie with all of the good parts taken out, and then you get sad. Because
I would rather watch this movie twice, and I'd like to say this is the most watched Star Wars content I've watched. Like, I've watched this at least 4 times now, more than I've watched the original movies. And I'd rather watch this twice than I'd rather watch Rogue One once.
Yeah, and that's not even a slight on Rogue One. That's a good movie. But, like,
anyway, it starts with Perry first going through a building that's attached or a part of what are they called? A Star Destroyer? They call it a Star Destroyer.
Yeah, Star Destroyer.
Yeah, Star Destroyer. It's funny. They have a ship called a Star Destroyer that doesn't destroy stars, but they have a thing that destroys planets, and they call it the Death Star.
Mm. Which
not
is
Planet Destroyer. Anyway. He's in there. He steals the plans. He leaves the plan. Like, he gets them all out. He does a good old Rogue One. He doesn't die. And during this scene of him running through, we get like 3 different jokes that explain what Stormtrooper life is like for the business ones. Because they would have to be business Stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. And there's one that's looking at porn. There's one that's just chilling and talking about having to do the taxes again or something about the budget. And it's so good. I love that. And it's a theme throughout the entire episode that they just keep giving character and movements and stuff that you never had in the Star Wars universe to these characters with a 1 or 2 throwaway joke. And like, we need more of it. We don't get to see it anywhere
else.
Exactly.
Some humanization for Stormtroopers. Speaking of humanizing Stormtroopers, do you want to do a little list of the things that the plot holes that this episode solves?
I've written down a lot of them.
Yeah.
So first of all, Rogue One fixes Rogue One.
Yeah.
I've got so many written down. Plastic armor. They just point out that there's plastic armor.
Yep. They point out there's plastic armor. One I was gonna mention with the humanizing Stormtroopers. If you humanize Stormtroopers, it makes it even worse that they killed that many of them with blowing up the Death Star. But this shows that they evacuated them all.
Yeah, which is nice. Buford shoots at the droids accidentally, which causes them to get into the escape pod.
That shot that scares him into the escape pod in episode 4. That
which
turns
goes
out that
unanswered
came
because we don't see a stormtrooper or anything. That was Buford, and he was just got the safety off, which makes sense. I've also got to recommend, I watched an excellent YouTube video on this where the guy's like, there's only one thing I have wrong with it. Anyway, you can watch it. He's like, how Dan Poffermeyer and Jeff Sorby-Marsh accidentally made the best Star Wars there is. And I'm like, there's no accident about this. But yes, it is the best. And he just talks on about how many little bits there are that they do as a Phineas and Ferb thing, like Buford stuffing up and shooting the gun, that works in the Star Wars content because they make it. And they're like, oh, look, this is why they did this.
Rogue One, they're like, let's solve the broader problems with Episode 4. How do they get the Death Star plans? And how did the weakness in the Death Star happen? But no, in this they solve the little problems with Episode 4. Yeah. Every little tiny joke that needs explaining, they explain it.
And then who made the Death Star? Doof. Why does it have a self-destruct port? Because Doof built it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
That is just gold. That is incredible. He's the sort of guy who could make the Death Star. Like, he made it for a nutcracker, but it turns into Death Star. That's a Doof thing to happen. And have a thing that means that you can shoot it once and it completely blows up.
That's a very Doof thing.
Like, that's
to
fantastic.
Do.
It's so good. then... then they have that it's really easy to think Ben Kenobi is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah,
Phineas
exactly.
Connects the two dots in like 3 seconds because he's not a.
He says, "Oh, that he must mean good old Ben Kenobi. We have Jedi lessons with him every Tuesday,"
which is a great implication. Oh, I want to talk about Tatooine later, but
yeah.
Then what else do they clear up?
Yeah, so
where does the robe go?
Yeah,
the end of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Where did the where did the robe end up? Yep, because we know Darth Vader took the lightsaber, but what happened to the robe?
What did he do with the robe?
Just chucked out the robe.
Buford walks over and goes, "Who left this? Oh, I'll grab that."
Mm-hmm. So do we want to let's go from the start.
Okay.
On Tatooine, Phineas and Ferb are just vibing.
Yep.
Right.
This
is a good time to point out Vincent Martella doing the most. So good. Absolutely.
Phineas and Ferb starts off with a song.
Yep. It's a good great stuff. Song. And you've bringing the vocal performance. We love Tatooine.
Brings back the Phineas and Ferb
banger.
Theme. We love Tatooine. That they love summer. And that's why they would love Tatooine. Not a desert planet that has no life to little worth living. They're like, no, this is great. You have summer every day.
Exactly. It's Phineas and Ferb's dream planet.
At this point, I realized that they have a better arc than Luke.
Yep. They 100%
do. You want me to
do.
Describe how? Because actually have a refusal to the call. Because Luke's like, I want to get off this planet. And they're like, no, we like this planet. And then when it comes to a bit where they have to get off the planet because of the Death Star.
They don't want
there's to. There's a bit where Phineas has to go, I have to do this, but I don't want to. There's a refusal of the call. Classic
That's
hero's
part
journey.
Of the hero's journey.
Where's Luke's? That's what I thought. Two-dimensional. I want to see more of Phineas. They bring up in the song that they're stepbrothers.
Yep.
That they aren't related. And I'm like, this is so wholesome. Because it means for people who haven't seen Phineas and Ferb, this is a great starting point for them. And they're like, oh my God, these guys aren't related yet. They're brothers, and yet the show cares about it so people know that it isn't
exactly.
An issue. They're like,
as I've pointed out,
look it up.
It is fantastic when predestined relations aren't the reason that characters know each other in Star Wars.
Get out of here, you like, Episode 8 fan. Get the fuck out of here. I don't want to hear about this.
Shut
shit.
Up. You can't compliment
You're
it in
born
this and then insult
you,
it in a movie that is really good. You can shut up.
They're born into the Force. That's how everything works. Just ask Lord Palpatine.
Yep, everything's got to be interconnected, and they've got all be relatives. And if you're not from one of two families, then you can get
worst. Absolutely
fucked. Unless you're Phineas and Ferb.
Unless you're Phineas and Ferb, they're not related. They both can use the Force. Ferb's a little bit stronger. Okay, that's all right. He also concentrates and doesn't talk as much. He's probably
spent that time
it
thinking
a bit more. Yeah, like,
There's a great little line where the mum says, you've done everything. And one of the, what she like starts listing things, and one of the things she lists is that they've herded all the nerfs.
And giving a banter a shower, like they're just doing the
theme song.
I did like how the dad points out, wait till they realize there's no girls on this planet.
Yeah, that was like, pretty good.
Dad's thinking ahead here.
But that's also a lie. Like, there is. They literally meet one. They're running around with Isabella.
And also also Vanessa, the Twi'lek. Yep. Like, come on. That's one for each of them. talking about people with better arcs from Phineas and Ferb than the real story, than probably actual canon, Candace, when she does her Stormtrooper.
By the way, we've not only spoken about Star Wars on the internet, which is already a dangerous thing, we've also stated our unpopular opinions about Star Wars on the internet. So if you're a person who's sitting there stewing with hatred and anger over our opinions of the Star Wars fandom, please do us a favor. Send in your hatred. It boosts our engagement. it helps the podcast grow, and I appreciate that.
I would actually not mind having a discussion with someone about how horrible some Star Wars is without actually having to talk to them. Like, that's so good. They send me a message. I get to shitbag them. They can't say anything back.
Yeah, because I don't care what Star Wars you like. Everyone likes different Star Wars, but it is undeniable that most of Star Wars is actually bad.
It's actually
like there's Baby more Yoda, bad Star Wars fantastic. Than there is good Star Wars, and that's not a slight on it because I love this series so much. But it is
a beautiful universe.
All the good stuff is the smaller stuff, like this and the Clone Wars, and I wouldn't call the Mandalorian small, but that's sort of stuff.
The team.
I mean, it's smaller than a movie.
It wasn't huge,
but,
and the money was that massive. They gave
wasn't that massive. It's still one of the biggest budget TV shows like ever. But
okay. Anyway, talking about characters with better arcs than the ones that the canonized versions of in the actual Star Wars, Candace, when she's like, "I'm part of the Empire. Rebels are bad," and later on, her moods change for obvious but good reasons. And the reason why she likes the Empire is the brainwashing, but also she's like, "They're rebels. It's out of order. We like control. I've always been about discipline." I'm like, okay, this is really good. And it's better than Iden Versa. And for those who don't know who Iden Versa is.
So for those who haven't played it, Iden Versio is the protagonist of Star Wars Battlefront 2.
And she she's the head commander of Inferno Squad, which is the like hit team for the Death Star Imperial guys, the Empire. And she obviously turns good because you can't be a bad guy in a game, can you?
You couldn't just let us play as the Empire, could you? That's what I was excited about.
Which I would have been happy with. Like, they have so much cool stuff. Like, I want to have a TIE fighter.
Being on the losing side is an interesting dynamic for a shooter. Because, like, by the time that you actually start playing missions, it's after episode 6. So the Empire is the losing side.
Because the Death Star blows up and they're like, how did they do it?
Yeah.
And nope, instead they do this really terrible convert and she's like, "Oh, I'm a rebel now." In the first act, she's like, I hate rebels. They're
she's
so
okay
bad.
With Death Stars, but they build another super weapon and she's not okay with it. And the flimsy
she
difference that they give her is that they're okay with executing other stormtroopers. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Alderaan was a civilian target. If killing billions of civilians was not enough to convert you, then some of your mates getting killed probably isn't either. Like, shut up.
Horrible character. The best character in the campaign so far is the droid, and it's probably because he can't talk. Next.
That could probably be said of a lot of Star Wars characters. Man, Star Wars is so much better if you imagine that R2-D2 isn't beeping because that's the noise he makes. But if you imagine that R2-D2 is censored with a beep.
Yeah.
And he's actually spending the entire thing swearing like a sailor. Because C-3PO even implies that with the way that he talks with him.
Okay. Anyway, they're driving after giving a banter a shower. They hit R2-D2 and Perry the Platypus, who have the Star Wars, the Death Star plans. A lot of things happen. They give directions to R2-D2 to Obi-Wan's house, who they get lessons.
There's also
Jedi on Tuesdays, which I just absolutely love. The fact that, of course, Obi-Wan,
of course,
why
they
wouldn't he do
just
some
get casual Jedi lessons? I love the idea that like Obi-Wan isn't really in hiding. He's just kind of giving Jedi lessons to random people on Tatooine.
Yeah, these two kids who's tricked out this massive ship and have lightsabers and crap.
There's also a great bit, a little subtle joke that's just hilarious, where instead of MM on Major Monogram shirt, it says MH for Major Hologram.
And never in the movie do they say that it's Major Hologram.
I think at one point he says Hologram out, but it's like so subtle that...
And it's so good.
You'd miss it if
Major
you weren't
Monogram,
looking for it.
Major Hologram. It it's works funny. On so many levels. And they don't even point at themselves and say I'm funny. They just are.
Yeah, that's the best thing about this Star Wars special. They're not... Like, some of the jokes are obvious, but there's some that, like, they make a reference to something that happens in a movie or whatever, and they don't beat you over the head with it. But if you know Star Wars, you just get that little reward of, like, the way that they're
knowing
connected.
It, yeah. You get benefit of for knowing Star Wars and Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah.
So this is just the perfect movie
specifically
for
made for us, right?
Yeah, because that's what we're here for. I love the bit when Phineas is looking for him. He's like, oh, they've left. And he's like, oh, can you fill that with the Force? For starters, they both are then Force sensitive. They know about the Force, which is more than Luke ever did. Mm-hmm. And then... he goes, no, I can see them with these binoculars. And then he puts the little, and he's like, oh, okay, neat. And then he's looking through the binoculars, and Ferb puts a little Tusken Raider puppet and makes the noise.
Yeah, the...
I want to say, my Tusken impersonation is better. Thank you. Thank you, future whoever edits this. They have to get help because... The Death Star plans are on the wrong ship.
Mm-hmm.
Da da da. Han Solo flies
and
away. Isabella.
I just love how much effort they've gone to, so that this show can specifically be canon if you want it to be. Like, they didn't have to go through this much effort to make sure that this was canon, but they did, and I think that's
they did.
Cool.
It's every bit where the camera pans away, they stay and they show you it, and then they'll go to somewhere else and. That's just so good. Like, you don't get that from other shows that are canon. Anyway, they go and see Isabella. Isabella's like, all right, I'll flow. She's got beef with Han Solo. That's good. Seeing people actually... Because it gives a backstory both to her and Han Solo. Because up to this point in the canon, like, we'd have really no clue who he was. And she was going to shoot these random farm boys just straight up. Like, she takes the...
Oh, yeah, also...
Flap off her gun.
Episode... Solo shows Han doing the Kessel Run, which means that this also... It's either this or Solo, and I'm picking.
See, that's
this.
why Han Solo and Rogue One weren't in our rankings.
Exactly, because they're not
both
canon.
Of them are cancelled out by this canon here.
Exactly, like you can't.
Did Disney make those ones? Oh, I think they did, but they made this one first, and this one counts.
Yeah, exactly. This was the one of the things that they made after they bought Lucasfilm. Like, come on.
Yeah, come on.
It's canon.
Anyway, Candace is chasing them down. Mm-hmm. Isabella and that get away, obviously, which is great. Buford and Baljeet are terrible, and at one point they're about to die. And Buford, with his more and more banging lines, he just doesn't run, and he says,
Buford is
thought
hilarious
we were
gonna in
this. Die in space, and then get saved by Candace. There was the other bit where they were getting the socks, and Buford's it's just like, she's like, I'm made for so much more than getting socks. And he's like, nah, this is about where I peak. This is where I'm at. I'm like, I get that. I feel that. That's nice.
Here's something cool that I noticed that's worth pointing out. This is, as far as I can tell, I don't think it's the only time, because I think Candace Against the Universe, and I'm pretty sure Across the Second Dimension do this as well, but this has color grading and lighting, which is a first for Phineas and Ferb. Phineas and Ferb's normally lit with really even lighting, which doesn't cast any
like
shadows on the characters' faces,
sort of
except for in the obvious spots, like just under their eyes or like where their hair is or whatever. And the shadows tree. Often aren't dynamic, they're not colored, and there's no color grading. But
they have lights coming off the boosters in this, don't they?
And they've got like scenes that are lit with red, and they've got light around the edges of their faces when they're like standing near lights and stuff. And there's a bit where they're on the speeder and zooming across the land, and Ferb's hair is almost black because the green is like desaturated.
Neat.
And I'm like, that's cool. That's a little bit of extra effort. You didn't need to, but you did it, and I appreciate it. And same thing with camera angles as well. They've got lots of low angle camera angles and like big sweeping shots and stuff. They really put the effort in. It's good.
Yeah, it's it. They obviously got more money for this one. Anyway, also, as soon as they get into Isabel's ships, they're like got upgrades for her, and she's like, writes them down anyway. And then when they're getting pulled in by a tractor beam, this is one of the best. They ignite their tools and say there are
other ways to come.
And that's some. I think that's also the what Jedi are meant to be like. They're meant to be like, we're not here to fight. We're here to be peacekeepers.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, these are the Jedis.
And I
the better Jedis.
Here's a Star Wars opinion that changed over time for me. I used to dislike the prequels because I thought that they showed the Jedi as way too like eager to get into combat. And I used to really dislike that because I thought that it was...
But that's just Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Yeah, that. But also, I found that as I watched them again and as I sort of like matured and my Star Wars opinions changed, I realized that that was kind of the point of the prequels in terms of the undertone, because the Jedi are supposed to be religious. But as you can see, especially if you watch the Clone Wars, they've gotten themselves involved in the government. They've gotten themselves involved in the military. They're out there acting like vigilantes when that's not what they're supposed to be. And their own hubris is what causes their downfall. Like, that's one of the themes
of the
prequels.
Not one of the 13 could sense the most powerful dark wielder of the Force.
Yeah. And that's
sitting right next to them.
And I actually buy that, because the Jedi really were like, they were almost the bad guys in the prequels.
Yeah, you could say it like that. If you were a crazy Star Wars nerd with a video thesis, you could make that.
I mean, in the Clone Wars, there's an episode where I can't remember the context in any way, but I remember the line that was like, Republic separatists, it doesn't matter to me, just keep your war away from me. There's like some farmer that doesn't want anything to do with the war, and he doesn't care that the Jedi have come to save him because, you know, Jedi. It's like colonialism themed. It's really good. I've come to have an appreciation for the prequels.
So instead of making the ship beast or shooting their way out or anything like that, they change the ship shields to be able to camouflage and turn into basically the Doctor Who tech again, the TARDIS being able to be anything. And for a split second, it's a baby head, but then at the end, it's a donut thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. And with Sith roast, donuts and Sith roast sounds fantastic.
Go great together. I would love a cup of Sith roast and a donut right about now. That sounds like a good time.
And that Sith roast and the donuts, when the guys are talking about the donuts, those two, for starters, we're pretty sure are Jeff Salty Marsh, and the second one's definitely Dan.
Mm-hmm.
When they're talking and he's like, oh, and then he pretends to choke,
which
is hilarious.
Like, he's like, don't say that, Vader will fall. Ha ha, you thought. It reminds me of that thing by the Fairbairn Boys, who are Australian national treasures, where they're talking about,
if you
like,
want to know what Australia
Jackson,
is like, some of
where Jackson becomes the president. And
oh, that's so cool.
And at the end, he's like, and my one of the reasons I got in is because I can confidently say that I won't die of old age in office. And he's like, you can't assure that. He's like, yes, I can. I'm 19. And then he like fakes a heart attack. And Lachlan's like, what? And he's like, just kidding. I'm fucking 19. Same energy.
It's good. And in that, he's like, and I banned semi-automatic weapons. And he's just like, what do you mean? He's like, because I'm not an idiot. Yeah, sure. Have your
shotguns whatever's to go.
Your BB-5s for hunting. But this isn't fucking Call of Duty, Frank. Get out of here. I loved it. Anyway, so they get the donuts. And then, of course, Phineas being the really golden heart he is, he's just like, now I feel guilty for having a donut van and no donuts. Maybe we should get them donuts. And I love how it's not like, can we get them some donuts? He knows he could do it. He's just like, should I? Should
I didn't
I really
catch that,
do
but
it?
That is great. Like, I didn't even think through that he didn't question that he couldn't go off and get donuts and come back.
He's like, oh, we should get them some donuts. And she's like, no, we're going to stop them blowing up a planet here. And he's like, okay, yeah, fair point. Mm. And then I like to point out Ferb Kenobi. I just wanted to say that. Ferb Kenobi.
Yep. Absolutely Ferb great.
Ferb Kenobi. And they meet Perry and they're just like, oh, yeah, no, we found out he's a secret agent. We're a bit hurt, but that's chill.
We're all good.
I liked how they just played that off and like we felt a bit betrayed, but then we're like, obviously he's got secret missions to do, so that's fine. So mm-hmm. if Phineas and Ferb ever did discover Perry the Platypus was actually Agent P,
they would be fine with it.
They would be fine after a little bit of heartbreak, which is kind of mm-hmm. nice.
There's also I know that we're onto like the Death Star part, but real quick, there's a great mm-hmm. line. There's a couple of great lines while they're still on Tatooine. There is, yep. As they're going into the bar. The cantina band that was there when Luke and Han went there is just leaving. And the guy comes up at the mic and he's like, give a hand for Figrindan and the Modal Nodes. Only one death and one dismemberment. That's pretty good for a Tuesday.
I like that. See, there's another little interaction, just giving more mm-hmm. character.
And yeah, I love the character being given to like universe. The small people in the galaxy. That's good. Mm. Max Rebo is there for Vanessa's song. He's playing the keys. Mm-hmm. That's
and
cool.
And the jazz.
Oh, it's nice to know jazz. What Max Rebo was up to in the time between, you know, everything before and after episode 6, because he just shows up one time in that and then dips again. It's nice to know that he was playing keys for Vanessa for most of the duration of the trilogies. I also want to know why he split from Vanessa and went to that weird long-lipped singer person.
Probably because Vanessa went with Ferb. They would have hooked up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good theory.
Probably. Anyway.
I've also got... there's a great Who Shot First joke.
Yep. He's like, oh, he says he shot first, but I could have sworn it was the other guy. Reference to the show, but having characters in the... actually react to the heroes of the show. Like, oh, so good.
Good stuff. Also on the deaths, now going to the Death Star, because that's all of my lines, there's a great line from Doof where he says, wow, I'm blown away, just like Alderaan.
That's actually in his song, which I wanted to break up, which such is a bit of a low blow, considering he lost such a good timeshare there. He was making bulk money.
Yeah, he was making big money, and he just
in his posters,
accidentally lost it.
He is holding a purple lightsaber.
He's what now?
He's holding a purple lightsaber. A purple one.
I never noticed red. That. Yeah, how can I notice that in the two times I've watched this?
Well, I saw it in the fourth time I watched it. And I paid attention. The lights are going from white, green, and purple. So he's going for a green-purple theme. And all the stormtroopers are holding their like green glow sticks that look like lightsabers. But in his two banners that he's got down, he's holding a purple one. And as we know, or is meant to be canon, is that lightsabers are, like, part of your character and who you are. Like, Ahsoka's got the white one.
Yeah, so there's two versions of this. There's that that red, green, and blue lightsaber crystal. There's blue and green are the normal colors. You get them from the caves in Ilum. You can also get yellow, but that's a lot rarer. Then red is made through a synthetic crystal. So you make a fake crystal, which is how you power a red lightsaber. And then the purple lightsabers are native to a specific planet where Mace Windu goes and gets his own one. And then there is the canon version, which is that when you touch a lightsaber, a kyber crystal, then
you can
you
force
put your energy in it,
stuff.
Your vibes in it, and then it decides what lightsaber would suit your outfit best. And if you're a Sith,
then the sorting hat.
You can get someone else's lightsaber crystal, and you can make it bleed, which turns it red by like damaging it and channeling dark side energy.
You can
turn
it red.
If you purify a red crystal, that's how you get
which
a white
we only
one.
Know of Ahsoka doing.
Yeah, that's what Ahsoka did to get her white lightsabers.
Yeah, and they're sexy.
So that's all the crystal stuff. How did he get a purple lightsaber crystal?
Because we know the only other person to have one is Mace Windu.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean Mace has the same vibes as Mace Windu? Yeah, it does. And Mace Windu's vibes are good, blue, but going on to the dark side red, is that a thing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's in both versions of the canon, Mace Windu uses a lightsaber form, which is more aggressive, and you're not supposed to use it unless you've got good control over your feelings, because it leads to anger and aggression. Yeah.
And so that's why he treads the line of the dark side.
Dark side and light side. And that's why he's so aggressive and immediately goes to arrest Palpatine after finding out he's a Sith, despite having no actual evidence.
Like, no preparation for it, yeah.
Yep.
Him and his... Have you seen that meme where it's like... 100% of the Jedi Force there to arrest Palpatine, and it's the four of them. And then it's like 99% of the Force to arrest Palpatine, and it's just Mace Windu.
Yo.
Because the other four die, like, flipping
so
suckers.
Quickly. And I love how that they give them backstory. Like, they give backstory to all the characters, Kit Fisto.
In Clone
Wars.
Whoever else died there.
I only was really paying attention to Kid Fisto. But the more backstory you give them, the more that I can't buy that they just let themselves get stabbed.
They're just flipping chumps. Anyway, I just like to point out Samuel L. Jackson, Doof, I like the idea of that. Both of them would be characters that would swear.
They're the only two characters in all of Star Wars canon that are willing to say motherfucker. And I, for one, respect them.
I like that, and I just thought, yeah, probably Doof wouldn't, because Doof's evil, but not evil, and so he wouldn't have the red one.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a good theory.
Yeah, we also have to point out that Doof is an Inquisitor for all the Star Wars fans to go, yes, I agree, and for everyone else to go, who the fuck's an Inquisitor? An Inquisitor were during the Rebels, during some other stuff you see in Fallen Order. They were basically mini Siths. They weren't super powered. They weren't force, like extremely force sensitive, but they could use the force. And they were used to clean up everyone else. They were sent out to kill young Jedi because Vader was busy.
The canon from Rebels.
And Emperor was Emperor. And so that's what Doof would do. I guess after he built a nutcracker that could be turned into destroyed planets, they were like, yeah, no, that's fair. And it would make sense why he wants to climb the ranks and become a big Sith with his Sithinator.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
And the Sithinator, are we going to just... It works. It turns
it
people
works,
into
yeah.
Sith.
It's a bit of a MacGuffin. Star Wars is known for their MacGuffins. So I don't think that's particularly...
I don't know. I don't think it's particularly a MacGuffin. Like, there's far worse MacGuffins out. Like, MacGuffins is something that everyone wants because you say everyone wants it.
Yeah, true. Not a textbook MacGuffin. It's not a MacGuffin, but it's a plot device. In the same way that, the Death Star plans... the Death Star plans are a textbook MacGuffin. But you get what I mean. Star Wars has a history
Death Star
of...
plans are a
He's an object. Let's not bother explaining it. Let's just let it do what it does.
Have a good big number and dance for it. Mm. He explains it pretty well.
Yeah. But, like, you know what I mean, right?
Anyway, yeah, I get it. It's something that is there just strictly to move the plot forward.
Yeah.
But it does do stuff with characters such as hitting Ferb, who goes straight from...
I mean, firstly, the biggest impact that it has on the story is the fact that it gives us a banging song.
That's true.
Great song.
True. 100%. Then it hits Ferb, and Ferb goes straight from normal to slightly evil Anakin with yellow eyes to mother-trucking Darth Maul.
Yeah. But with green hair.
They could have chosen, but to give him the horns as well. Yep. They could have chosen any of the Siths. I'm so glad they chose Maul. I want more love.
Yeah, Maul is a great character.
He's such a good villain.
He's another example of something that really didn't work as well in the movies, but got really accentuated by the supplementary material.
Yeah, even Rebels did him well, and Clone Wars. Oh, so good.
So good in Clone Wars. Oh my god, that fight. No, can I just say, moving my rankings of everything around, my top Star Wars thing, even above everything except this Phineas and Ferb special,
good. Just under Phineas
is the episode of the Clone Wars where Obi-Wan 1v1s Maul and Savage on that ship.
1v2s.
Yeah, 1v2. That.
That and then so when good. Palpatine wipes the floor with him and Savage.
Oh, good God. The fight between Maul and Ahsoka as well, the one that they like they motion captured
from season 7.
Yeah. Those are the three best lightsaber fights in that series.
Three best lightsaber fights ever. Mm-hmm. And also
And all of them have Maul. What does that tell you?
Yeah, exactly. Cuz Maul fights Obi-Wan, exceptional best fight in all of Star Wars, and it's really short and it's fantastic in Rebels, and it's the end of Maul. Then Maul fights fights Ahsoka. Fantastic. Siege of Mandalore. Good stuff.
Absolutely then, amazing.
Maul fights Obi-Wan with Savage's help. That's so good. He's like, you're outnumbered, and Obi-Wan's, but you're outmatched. And ignites second blue lightsaber from his fellow dead Jedi. And we're just like, holy shit. And he wins that fight. He wins. And then Savage and Maul versus Palpatine, where it's one of the only scenes in all of Star Wars where you get to really learn how powerful Palpatine is. He's just like, all right, I'm
like,
sick of
even
this
his fight with Mace Windu,
I'm gonna walk in.
That's like,
and wipe the floor.
Like, it's not a brilliant
and even Yoda.
Fight.
It was a bit, eh. Like, it's good, but he
it's
still
good,
looks
but
like
it was more of a battle
Sonic
of like force powers
green.
Than it was a battle of like expressly lightsaber skills. Whereas
that one,
just get to see Palpatine just come in and just go, you are completely beneath me, but you've annoyed me enough to use all of my power. So I'm gonna, like, he literally bats him around like he's toying with him, like a cat that's got a bird that's just like hitting it. And then he's like, all right, and you're gonna
murder Savage, who's a character they've been building through like two seasons. Murks him, and he's left with Maul there, and Maul's like, oh, show mercy. And he's like, you don't show mercy on the dark side. Just fucking electrocutes the shit out of him.
Star Wars is so good.
That is good.
I love Star Wars.
That is good Star Wars. Alrighty. Ferb is Maul now.
After the song, by the way, after Doof's song, we get the fantastic line from Norm 3PO. Very good, sir. That was better than rehearsal.
So he'd rehearsed it, which I like. More little hints to how much more there is behind it. Then he has to go get more trash to recharge the Sithinator. And then we get even more answers to what happens during Answer 4 when they're in the trash chute and the monster grabs Luke but then gives him back for some reason, like doesn't completely kill him. It's because Doof asks for evil for the dark side stuff and he shows him Luke and he's like, no, that's the guy. Put him back. And then he puts the guy back. And then he has to clean the chute because he's just been in it getting all the stuff. And that's why the walls start pressing in for some arbitrary reason, which is, again, fantastic. We get to see the guy talk to Han Solo.
That it just, like, not even plot holes, just things like... Normally, I hate it when Star Wars explains every little thing because it doesn't really need to, and it has a habit of doing that.
Yeah.
This is the exception.
Yeah,
this movie should
makes
be
it
viewed
enjoyable and
before
funny.
Or simultaneously to Episode 4.
Yeah, I want to see an edit of just Episode 4 with this.
Like, yeah, like, we're just hard cuts just between the two, and then it's got, like, the music.
You just have, like, these,
like,
you just have these funny jokes in between the kind of pretty good movie.
Yeah.
And then when he's talking, so Han Solo's talking through the thing to a commander of some description in the movie, we get to see the commander react to it, which is great, and send everyone up, which is even better. Candace is getting shot at by Perry. Fun stuff. And then, so are we getting up to Ferb completely into Maul? He is
yes,
the Sith.
Yes, he goes completely into Maul.
Yeah.
And
it's
so good.
Phineas sees him. And we're like, okay, this is crazy. He's just seen, like, he looks bad. He's in a dark robe and everything. And Phineas is like, cool face paint. Which is funny, because it means, obviously, Ferb would have had to paint his face. Because the Sithinator wouldn't change his skin. Like, Maul's skin is actually that really cool pattern.
Yeah, and
with
it's
the horns and everything.
I like that because of his species, not because of, like, his Sith abilities. It's not like the eyes.
Yeah, no. It's his actual species. And Ferb's just got face paint on. Because why not?
Which that is yet another example of how, unlike the people in every other canon in every other series, Phineas and Ferb are just okay with having a bit of a flair for the dramatic.
Yeah.
He didn't
usually
need
when
to put the face paint
other
on,
shows
but
do
he
it,
did it.
They skip over it. They're like, look, they're just like, yeah, it just happened. Live with it. This show points at itself and goes, haha, that was funny, wasn't it? Like they don't,
and it is. It is funny.
They it
are
is
correct.
Funny. Like they don't try anything. It's such a secure show in its own identity. It knows who it is. It doesn't try to be anything else. And it's so enjoyable to watch because you're just there like these guys know what they're doing and they're happy with what they've done.
Phineas and Ferb is also a very easy show to watch. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, because it's so positive, there's never any negative thoughts in it. There's never any, like, drama that makes you self-question lots of stuff. That stuff does have a place. That stuff is good. How many
people had to kill to get a beach?
Yeah. unless you think about it to the extreme, cough our entire podcast. But, like, it's good. It's just some nice comfort entertainment. I think that's really fantastic.
So the guys start panicking because they think they've lost the Death Star plans, which they have, but it happened well before it got to them, which is quite funny. And they like blame it on Jar Jar. I love that because that's what every normal human being would do. We'll blame it on Jar Jar. And he's like, that guy retired 20 years ago. And he's just like, oh, well,
I have this vibe that was meant to be died. That line was originally died and it got changed to retired.
Oh.
I have this feeling that that's what it was meant to be.
Well, either way, canonized version of what happened to Jar Jar.
Yeah, because the real canon really dances around that question.
Yeah, exactly, because he is the Sith Lord. I hate that theory. Get out of here. Anyway.
I like that theory better than I like what actually happened in episode 9.
Wait, what?
Like, the idea that Jar Jar was behind it all is honestly more interesting than the idea than that Palpatine coming was behind back. It all.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. All right, then we get the best or the fourth best Star Wars fight you'll ever see with Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, together. Oh, the choreography. Mwah.
Mwah.
Well done.
And lightsaber insanity.
It's insanity.
It's so easy to come up with these ideas, and yet the only time we see them is in the 7th episode with Kylo Ren's, and that was nothing. The crossguard, get out of here. Try having not only double-ended lightsaber, which I do want to point out, Ferb didn't ignite until like during the fight, which I thought is so like that's cool because Maul just does it straight away, and everyone's like, oh my god,
and it loses the element of surprise. In fact, I had this lightsaber book when I was a kid that like explained all the features of all of the lightsabers and stuff. Did you know that Darth Vader's lightsaber is custom tricked out so that it can change how long it is? I didn't know that. Well, I mean, that I didn't until cool. I read that book, but that's quite cool. That's what one of the knobs does. Anyway, the point of Darth Maul having the second blade, part of it was apparently to surprise people and catch them off guard. And then you could start swinging that second blade at them before they have time to prepare for it. And I'm like, it defeats the purpose of that. If you ignite it before the battle starts.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, by the way, I've got a second one. Ferb does that. And then after a bit of an interaction with both, he's just like, oh, and then he ignites two extras on either side. So it's a 3x3 blade, which I love because, of course, these Phineas and Ferb kids who've built this massive ship, the sailing, the Jawa trading with their Ferb bots, all this stuff that they've done, and that's just in this Star Wars universe. Again, just 11 on a desert planet with like nothing to use, have now got their lightsabers, and they're now tricking the hell out of him. And he's like, "Oh, we're allowing modifications, huh? All right, give me a second." Phineas is ready. He gets his little tool belt out and he starts modifying him. And when we see him next, they both have not only two lightsabers, but one is like a chainsaw accessory.
Yeah, it's like it spins around. Is it perpendicular? Which is right.
Like a shield. It's like a shield.
Like a shield.
Yeah, and then it's got a stick coming out the front of that, and then they're holding their 3x3 lightsabers in each hand, and they're using that to fight. And I'm like, this is insane. Why haven't we seen this in live action? I feel like it's something you could make quite easily. Literally, just get a lightsaber, spin it. Chainsaw lightsaber.
So good. I mean, we did see it in canon at one point because the Inquisitors have them.
Yeah, the Inquisitors, they can fly with them, which is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Considering a lightsaber doesn't have any mass, it's a lightsaber.
Well, I mean,
spinning the blades around.
They, and you think lightsabers aren't made of light.
Get out of here.
They are made of...
out of energy.
There was something that they do, but they have an intake vent at the bottom or something like that. And they're basically looping energy around. So they're actually circulating energy. It goes back into the lightsaber once it gets to the end, and then it circulates around in a circle. And it does have mass, as shown with how everyone's wielding it. Like, that is a canon thing that the blade does actually have mass.
Spinning it around above your head does not give you enough force to lift. Like,
no, it doesn't. But I can't have any incorrect statements in here. Like, I can't have you saying the lightsabers don't have mass when they do.
Okay. Well, I will admit it is very cool watching Inquisitors fly off with their lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's stupid. Yeah, well, it's definitely stupid. But as we've established, 90% of Star Wars is stupid, and only about 35% of it's actually good. So notice how those overlap? A lot of Star Wars is stupid. There's your hot take. It's good. It's good stupid. I like it, but it is stupid. And that's why when people get like so passionate about like
anal about it, you just like,
when they get so mad about it and they're like, this is a mistreatment, they should be fired and stuff. It's like, dude, calm down. This movie is about space wizards.
Yeah, like, calm down. Space samurais with magic. Calm down.
It's just it's a ripoff of samurai movies, and it's a ripoff of World War II movies, and it's just space. It's space wizards. They've got space wizards with laser swords.
I want to point out the costumes, Isabel's goggles being her ribbon.
Oh, absolutely.
Such a good idea.
Right?
Phineas is just wearing Luke, Ferb's just wearing Obi-Wan. Still worth mentioning. So we are kids, actual kids, I've written down. And now I remember what the line's from. It's when the Fireside Girls are there trying to convince Isabella to fly with them. And she's just like, yeah, no, I'm not going to. And they're like, we're actual children. And they're letting us fly fighters because they need us that badly. And I'm like, once again, you're pointing at yourself saying, look at us. Look at us show. This just shouldn't work, but it does because we're writing it. And I love it. It's so good. Then it explains not only why Isabel goes back, but also why Han Solo goes back in episode 4 to go help them. Because he seemed pretty sure of not going back. But then after a discussion with Chewie and Isabella and realizing that they're actually really lonely, they go out to help their friends. And I'm like, that's so sweet. We could have even had that in the movie. But don't worry, guys. Povamaya and Swampy will pick up where you left off.
Exactly.
Then we've already mentioned Obi-Wan picking up, Buford picking up Obi-Wan's robe, which I thought was great.
Oh, then, yeah, that is so funny. I like how he points out there's a hole in it too.
Yeah, he's like, and there's just one hole. It's a perfectly good robe. And so you know for sure it's Obi-Wan's. And then at the very end, when Phineas is talking about his sister, he's like, oh, I wish I knew my sister. And she's like, Phineas? And he's like, Candace? And I'm like, how did you guys not realize before now? Your brother has a triangle-shaped head. This isn't a common thing. You would have remembered. During that, she's just like, oh, and this is Ferb, our stepbrother. And she's like, mum remarried? And I'm like, yeah. Well, what happened to dad? He goes, oh, funny story, actually.
Death Star blows up.
With them presumably on it, which I found funny. Like, they're just basically saying, we'd rather kill off the entire cast with the Death Star explosion than explain to you who's Phineas's father is. I love that. It's so good.
It is hilarious. And then in the end, do they kill him off? No, they don't. Do they kill any stormtroopers by blowing up the Death Star? No, they don't. They really...
But Buford did kill... I do want to point out, Buford killed the most people. And by that, he killed one. And it was at the Death Star.
But he definitively murdered a man.
And the man falls out and he's like, I'm just going to go on the side, grab a thing, like pointing out what Luke does. And he's like, hang on, I'm thinking about Cloud City because the interiors look the exact same. Another good joke. And then he falls out of the Death Star, which makes no sense. Physics, gravity based. Because
they explain this in Star Wars as well. There's gravity generators, which are part of... Are they part of a hyperdrive, I think?
The other way?
What was that, sorry?
Because he falls out the back, sort of.
Yeah, the idea is that the entirety of the Death Star has a gravitational pull that is pulling downwards rather than sideways, which is also why... If you think about how the docking bay is, because the docking bay is on the side of the Death Star, like close to the equator, but you go into it and then land. So you don't land on the side. You go into
it. You know, they
could
have just designed the Death Star like a moon would be.
Yeah, they could have just designed it with layers and just put the core in the center. But no, they had to be fucking special and have a giant gravity thingy to hold everything
down. But the gravity thingy wouldn't hold the guy, would it? Going outside the ship?
Well, it would pull him down until the point that he left the ship. And by the time that he left the ship, he would be continuing to have the momentum that he already has because he's in space.
All right, anyway, so he's sucked into space and he will die.
Yep.
Because the armor is just plastic. So, yeah, 100%. He's dead. And Buford killed him.
Mm-hmm. Buford the murderer.
And then they have a lovely dance number.
Yeah, it's a great dance number. I'm glad Vanessa's back.
And Major Hologram singer. Has a fantastic joke where he's just like, we may have a little problem with the plan still being out there, which means that they might be able to build one. No, he doesn't even say they might be able to build one. The Death Star's plans are still out there, but we'll blow up that battle station when we come to it.
Great line.
A standing joke, because that's what they do for the next six movies.
Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of great lines. We have got a wonderful line from Buford where he says, someone's like, are we the good guys? And Buford goes, yeah, that's what they said during the brainwashing.
What? You mean the orientation? No, it's the orientation.
Tomato, potato.
That's so good. You could transport that line into any dystopian rule of an armory or like an enforcing group, and it would work. You could you could put that in 1984. That's it. You could put that into 1984, be big brother, and he's like, that's what they told us during the brainwashing. No, orientation. Potato tomato.
Potato tomato was also a great line.
And anyone would read that and be like, yeah, George Orwell said that. That suits the exact theme of this entire book. This makes sense. And it's such an intellectual line. It's so good.
It's great. Oh, yeah, no, my other two ones that I haven't ticked off are actually things that you've already brought up. So, yeah, that's everything I've got.
And then at the end, Isabella kisses Phineas and says, there's no chance we're related, huh? Funny, because it pokes out Leia and Luke kissing and then kisses him, which is sweet. We love to see it.
It's very sweet. And that is the best Star Wars media ever.
And we have discussed it wholeheartedly, conversed all other Star Wars canon media, so not those other two that
Not
we don't talk about.
Rogue One and By Myself, I believe they were called.
Yeah.
Whatever they are, they're legends.
Rajon and Solo.
Solo. Just the word Solo. Solo. S-O
so
space low. L-O-W.
They just, L-O-W, yeah. Mm-hmm. And
Weekly Planet
we've got
Posters
some
Instagram account, if you're listening.
Please make one for us. Now we've also got something to mention from a fan who's given us two lovely soundboard things, and because we're both uncreative and ill-planned, we will now play them now. First, this one.
Ding, 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 a victory bell.
Second, this one.
Bing, bing, bing.
God, we're comedy geniuses, aren't we?
We are amazing. I love how we were definitely able to hear those sounds and haven't added them in post, because that's what we have to do now. That is a tragedy. Yeah. You know what? While we're listening to sounds that I'm going to add in the edit to that sound
there.
Wonderful, here's Nemesis.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, I really love
it. It's funny because I can actually play it in my head without any difference.
Yeah, same. That little fill at the start.
It's just constantly there. It just never leaves.
And you'd think that it'd get annoying after being stuck in your head for like a couple of years, but no. No, it's just there. It's great.
Evil all day. Somebody to get my baby. Someone in my life who doesn't want me to exist.
All right, so and before we do sign off, I'm going to find what the name of the person who actually sent all that stuff in was.
Perfect. I'll also talk about, I'm talking more to Larissa, who's an official friend of the show.
Yes, Larissa is officially
about COVID,
a friend of the show.
And yeah, she's just made it very real that everyone's kind of stuffed and Australia is a great country to live in.
Yeah, we were talking about coronavirus and really made me thankful to be in Australia. So
we still don't have the vaccine, though. If you actually come to this podcast for live updates for the coronavirus, you come to the very wrong place. But I'm happy to tell you.
Go read the news. Do something. Don't be here. We have no idea
but
what
we're doing. Haven't been vaccinated. No one will be for a little bit.
She asked, like, oh, is that no case? Because we mentioned that we have no cases. And she was
had any cases for 12
She was like, oh, is that no cases in Australia or no cases
in New South
Wales? And I was like, I'll be honest, I've got no clue.
I was like, states? What's New South Wales? No.
I have the luxury of not paying attention to the coronavirus. And that is something that...
Yeah, that is something. You do have to wear a mask, though, when you're on those very crowded public transports. But...
Yeah. But I'm fine. The person who sent the soundboard stuff in, by the way, they didn't... they did give a name. Sorry, it is Silas. So thank you, Silas, for
Silas.
Giving us the samples. Yeah,
that is
very
a
cool.
very cool name.
Yeah, Silas is a badass name, right?
Silas. He would make a good Sith.
Yeah. Darth Silas. That's got vibes. Yeah.
Oof, there you are, Darth Silas.
Good
nice.
Stuff. So
I think we're finished.
Yeah, if you would like to reach the show, write into us at implicationsofphineasandferb@gmail.com. Hit up the Instagram, implicationsofphineasandferb. We've got a TikTok. We've got a Twitter. We've got, I think, a Reddit as well. All of them are in the description. Go check them out.
Time for the
Yep. All right.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Implications of Phineas and Ferb. listen to it wherever you can. I tried to do the monogram thing. I don't know why I tried. We've actually got the actual sample.
Very nice. Here's the actual sample. Movie magic.
I love movie magic. This is so handy. By handy, I mean not, because I can't hear it.
All right, I'm ending the recording.
The implications of Phineas and Ferb. Listen to it whenever you can.